Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a pretty good Monday. It is just so nice to be back here on a Monday. Thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it. Maybe it's Tuesday where you are, if you're listening on the other side of the international dateline. I don't actually know how that works. It has been explained to me. I don't know how it works, but it's Tuesday in some places, and we're glad you're here with us. Our number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And this hour, we're going to devote entirely to answering the questions of folks who have loved ones who experience same-sex attraction, maybe are living in a same-sex relationship, or you just need some help with how to respond in a fully Christian way, how to respond as Christ would call us to respond in those situations. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rylene Simpson, and if that name sounds kind of familiar to you, it might be because you saw the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills. She was one of the three people profiled in that movie. She's been a member of Courage since she came back to the Catholic faith in 2009 and has been a moderator of an Encourage support group for a long, long time. Encourage is the Catholic support group for parents, friends, family members of people with same-sex attraction. Rylene Simpson, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Si. Especially a pleasure to finally meet you. I've been a fan, so.
Well, I've seen your movie, so now here we are face to face. It's very nice to see you.
Mutual admiration society.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Again, our number 888-318-7884. If you, by the way, I just need to say this, Rylene. I don't know if you know. Every show I have to say this at the beginning now. If you are an archbishop, cardinal, or the pope, you go right to the front of the line. So you are welcome. Same number, but we put you on line one. 888-318. So you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I was listening to the last hour. That was quite a kudo. I don't ever remember that happening, honestly.
No, neither do I. And it makes you nervous because how easy would that be for that to be a prank call? But it wasn't. It was Archbishop Nauman, and it was very beautiful. And we were very pleased to get his blessing. I very much appreciate you being here to have this conversation. This is a conversation that. So many families maybe can benefit from it or and need, but often maybe don't have anybody or don't know that they have anybody to turn to and ask. So let's say a parent now has a child maybe in their teen years who comes and says, expresses that they are gay, transgender, something of that. What advice do you give to the parents at the moment of meeting that situation?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's the million-dollar question too, because I think the parents' response is, you know, it's an emotionally charged moment, and the parents' response at that point can do some damage, or it can kind of smooth the way for a little bit better relationship. So, the first thing is. You know, you're the adult in the situation, so you got to keep control of your emotions no matter what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And because it's very, so much goes through the minds of the parents who have this experience. You know, they start thinking about, how come I didn't see this coming? How can this be? You know, I want so much for my child, all the dreams that you have for your child. So it's a very emotionally charged moment. And, but the first thing you have to do is you have to just remain calm and say that quick prayer to the Holy Spirit and, you know, try not to show any emotion, any judgment about it. Because that's the first thing. They're watching you. So being able to just keep your face still, don't panic, know that God is with you in this situation is really, really important. And then the second thing is, after they've made this statement, you need to try to get a little bit empathetic at that point, and try to understand that whatever got them to this point has been going on for years. It's not something that just popped up this morning, right? Wow. So your child has been living through this experience of having these feelings by themselves, or with a group of people that you're not privy to, right? And so they haven't been sharing it with you. So my thinking is the best thing to do at that point is wrap your arms around your kid, give him a big smooch, and say, I'm so sorry you've been experiencing these feelings and not able to talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because that's the way most kids in the situation, even adults, I mean, I say kids, I'm talking about, you know, anyone's children, no matter their age. But most kids in this situation have this big struggle. They're dreading this conversation with their parents. And the culture has told them they're going to kick you out. They're going to throw you to the curb. You know, they're going to hate you if they're Christians, all this other stuff. And so, of course, we have to have our Christian charity kick in, and we have to just put ourselves in the child's place and understand what they've been going through and you know, how they've been experiencing this. So that question, that sympathetic, empathetic, I'm sorry you had to experience this without me.
Yes.
You know, tell me about what you've been going through. Tell me about what you've been feeling is really, really important to establish that, you know, I'm here for you and can accompany you through this situation.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If this is a situation that you are encountering, have encountered, or would like someone else to help someone else who is encountering this situation, to be a good parent, to be a good friend, to be a good family member in such a situation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So, there'll be pressures and struggles from outside the family then too. So maybe you could prepare the parents for what they're going to experience as far as societal pressures in such a situation.
Right. So in Encourage, mostly the parents that we hear from are parents who are devoted Catholics. And a lot of times they are an island in a sea of cultural Catholics, even in their own family. So a lot of times other friends, other family members will tell them, you know, you should accept this. This is, you know, the way it is. Everybody knows that they're born this way. You know, they'll give you all of the cultural lines. And so as a parent in this situation, you might start to feel really alone, right? Yeah. You feel isolated. So you need support. Parents need support in this situation. They need to be with other parents who also care about their faith and also who can relate to the situation that they're in, which is one of the reasons why Encourage exists as a support group.
Just maybe say a quick word about what Encourage is. Like, how does that fit into the kind of the Courage under the banner of Courage? And what's going to happen to me if I go to an Encourage meeting?
Yeah, wonderful. So there's the group in the Catholic Church that's called Courage, and started a long time ago, 40 years old organization, and its purpose is to help people who experience same-sex attraction live out their lives faithful to God's plan for human sexuality, essentially. And so under the banner of Courage, we have an organization called Encourage, which was started by a couple of parents who found themselves in the situation, and their kids, faithful Catholics, but their kids were living out the gay life. And so it was very difficult. It's a very, very difficult situation for any parent to find themselves in when they are faithful Catholics. And so Encourage has chapters just like Courage does. And, you know, if you go to the couragerc.org website and look up for families, you'll find a website there and you can find a local chapter. We don't have chapters everywhere yet, but we're working on it. And so, so we have meetings. Usually they're once a month. And of course, during COVID, they've not been in person, but some states are getting back to normal. But at these meetings, you really get the wisdom of the group, right? So there might be at any meeting maybe between 4 and 20 other parents in the same situation as you are. Also brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, who also are Catholic. And so, and you get to understand the situation from a lot of different viewpoints, and you get the wisdom of people who've been through the situation earlier in the process, who are later in the process than you are. And so, yeah, it's a very helpful thing. Meets about once a month, completely anonymous, so nobody knows where it is and when it's happening until they get screened. So there's anonymity for the members, so yeah, they don't have to worry about, you know, coming out themselves as people.
Yes, right, because that it has that element, doesn't it?
Coming out, it does. Yeah. You know, there's some judgment about that, and that can come from either any direction, right?
Sure.
There can be judgment from their friends that, you know, maybe you've done something wrong and you ruined your kid, or from the other direction, you should be more loving, caring, open, affirming, et cetera, et cetera. So it's coming at these people from a lot of different directions.
888-318-7884 is our number. Rylene Simpson is our guest. If you haven't seen the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills, I highly recommend it to you. It's a beautiful film about three really beautiful people. And she's one of the folks featured there. She's a moderator of an Encourage group. And Encourage is a Catholic ministry to family members of those who experience same-sex attraction. If that's you and you have a question, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Truth, our number. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest is Rylene Simpson, who's here to speak with you. Well, is a moderator for Encourage. What Encourage does is support parents, friends, family members of those with same-sex attraction. And that's what we're here to talk about. If you have questions about that, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Rylene, line's starting to fill up. Still two lines open. You want to go some calls?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on 102.7 KVSS Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. A number of speakers on this program, on KVS, or on Catholic Answers Live, as well as virtually every psychologist, says that the actions or the lack of actions of the parents is what causes the same-sex attraction. Now, my question is, do you ever make this clear to those parents that they're the perpetrators and that their child is the victim? Because without that, you can never have a healing relationship. And so I guess that's my question.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting question, Tom. I haven't had that exact question before. So it gives me something to think about. So I would say, if we look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church and what it says about the homosexual, I think they call it, the homosexual inclination. It says the psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. So as the church, I don't think we put ourselves in the position of being psychologists or in the position of, you know, trying to identify the cause of this condition, situation. And I I think that the purpose of the two groups, both Courage and Encourage, is much more about ministering to the people who are experiencing it or ministering to the parents. You know, there's not really, in the way we're ministering, there's not really so much a role to say, to put blame anywhere. In fact, all of the things that I've read about the situation, and by the way, I'm a Courage member. I was in the gay life for 26, 27 years, whatever it was. They say it's a constellation of factors. You know, there are many, many factors that contribute to this. And we don't know what all of them are yet. So, we're not in that position to put, you know, something at the feet of the parents and say that they're the cause of something like this. And frankly, parents feel very guilty. That's one of the first things that they do is accuse themselves when they find this out. They think, what have I done wrong? Which is, you know, is also not so helpful, to tell you the truth.
Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate that call in studio with us. We have Isabel, and it's very nice to have people in studio again. Isabel, thank you, and you're very welcome here. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Rylene Simpson.
Yeah, so I just, how do you go about helping people to find their identity in Christ and their, you know, the theology of their body when they're identifying as a they, or, you know, they're attracted to people of the same sex. And that seems to be a really, like, hot button to push when, you know, you say, like, oh, you're such a beautiful person, or, you know, and they're like, oh, no, I'm a they. And, like, how do you do that in a loving way without pushing them away?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Isabel. Thank you for that question. So, I think what this comes down to is a relationship. And everything depends on what your relationship is with the person that you are engaging with. So if this is somebody that you have known for a long time, have a very close relationship with, have had long chats over coffee and that kind of deep, you know, emotional bond, that's you get a different approach than if it's just somebody who's sitting beside you at church, right? Okay. And you've just met this week. So it all depends on what your relationship is with that person. The identity question, you know, I'm a supporter of the approach with people of just approach people with curiosity in a loving and supportive role. So I don't think it helps to tell people anything. Mm-hmm. I think it helps to ask people questions. And so you can ask questions about what, you know, what their feelings are about the situation, how they're treated. You can ask people about when they first understood this aspect of themselves and when they recognized these feelings. You can talk to them gently about, you know, just asking questions about whatever relationship they're in a caring way. You can talk to them about other aspects of their life. To me, I think that all of these things speak to their humanity rather than just addressing them as a, you know, as some single dimension of who they are. Sometimes in that culture, that is the approach to address people as, or to, I don't know, kind of distill people down to the fact that they're transgender or they're gay or they're bi or they're non-conforming, you know, all of those other adjectives. They're trying to distill a person, a human person, with all of the dimensions that they have down to a single thing. And I think that's a mistake that we don't want to make. Mm-hmm. We want to talk to the whole person, and there's many dimensions to their lives. This is not the only thing. You can talk to them about their experience, and then when you talk to them about their experience, assuming that you're doing it in prayer, the Holy Spirit will guide you that when you can relate back to something of your own experience that is relatable, that has some kind of parallel. All of these situations that people find themselves in, human sexuality is only one place mm-hmm. in our lives where we can be sinful and have problems, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people around who all of this advice would be the same whether you're talking to somebody who's maybe an alcoholic struggling, somebody who's an overeater struggling, all of our human frailties can be addressed in the same way. And honestly, I don't think that there's that much different. And then you have to let the Holy Spirit do their work to build up that based on your modeling of your Catholic faith and other Catholics around them. Let the Holy Spirit work on them and help them, discover Christ in themselves and their identity.
Does that help, Elizabeth?
Yeah, it is. And I just wanted to, so is it wrong to say, like, I understand what you're going through, and is it wrong to, like, if there's a name change or they want to identify as they, is that wrong to say they? Or I don't want to, like, further mislead someone that's, you know, like, having such a hard time finding the truth. I don't want to, like, further lead them away. My, you know, intention would be to lead them to Christ. But, it, you know, is it wrong to say, like, okay, like, I'll call you they? I mean, that just seems sort of, like, counter, you know.
Counterintuitive to the purpose of truth. Right. So I understand. So I just came back from the Courage Conference that we had in July. I didn't just come back from it. We had the Courage Conference at the end of July.
You got out of there late.
And I just got back. But we had a lot of discussion about this he, she, they, them, all of the pronoun discussion. And there's mixed feelings about it, really. People say, don't die on that hill, right? Mm-hmm. They want to say, so if they want you to say they, it's easy, try to do that. If there's bigger fish to fry than that. But, I think the church doesn't have a teaching on this, but it's a prudential judgment. For me, I prefer to use the person's name, and that could be, you know, whatever that name is. If somebody, you do have, once you're an adult, you have the authority to rename yourself. And so whatever you're going to call yourself, if you're used to be Michelle and now you're Mickey, so be it. And is that a boy's name, a girl's name? You know, all kinds of names switch gender. My father was named Riley, and now that's a girl's name. So, you know, these things change anyway.
It's so interesting. I'm sorry, Riley. And I just, it's interesting to me that folks that say the Courage meeting are working through this, and not everyone has come to the same conclusion. I think that's kind of, I'm glad that you said that, actually, because as a kind of a Catholic Christian community, we'll work it out over time. But nobody has the exact right answer yet about how to deal with these. I mean, we're slow. The world is fast, you know. And so the thing is, we're actually better when we're slow, when we take our time to figure out what's the most humane way to address a world that is now inventing all kinds of new pronouns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think one more thing I'd say on this topic is that, when you're in a one-on-one conversation, you're not using pronouns anyway. You're saying, hey, Si. You're saying, hey, Isabel, you know. Right. So you're not using those pronouns with that person generally. Generally, it's when the person is away and you're using it with a third-person party. So I'm not sure it's as, in the forefront as people put it. But the second thing I think we have to keep in mind, and if you don't want to use those pronouns, I think that we can make a good case for it. And my case for it is that we are human beings and we're embodied. We are a body-soul composite. We are, our bodies and souls are together. And all knowledge that we have comes to us through our senses. And if my senses are detecting that you are a woman, and then you ask me to call you something other than woman, than woman titles, woman pronouns, it is an assault against the truth. You're asking me to override what all my senses are telling me. And so I hear you that you want to be called that, but if you can understand my position, that I have to actually force down my own perceptions of you that are coming to me through my eyes, my ears, etc. And so it's maybe I don't want to lie to my senses, or maybe I don't want to override those, or maybe that feels like an assault to me. Maybe assault is too strong a word to use in that conversation, but you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there's the music. Isabel, thank you very much for your questions and for the very intelligent conversation. It's very helpful. And Rylene Simpson continues with us. We've got a bunch of folks on the line. There are two lines open, however. If you have a question about how to deal with a situation such as this that was just mentioned, or maybe you have a family member who's experiencing same-sex attraction, you'd like some help with that, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God?
Join us for Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
All right, we'll go right back to calls and to our guest, Rylene Simpson. We're talking about same-sex attraction, especially those who have loved ones who experience same-sex attraction would like some help with that. But if I go right back to that, I'm going to forget to do what I should do, which is give out a couple of web addresses. So if you're interested in Courage, Courage is a ministry to those who experience same-sex attraction and would like to live the fullness of the Catholic faith and need some help and support and community, and as we all do, to do that, CourageRC.org is where you go to find out about Courage, CourageRC.org. If you're interested in having the help of Encourage, if you're a parent or a family member or a friend of someone experiencing same-sex attraction and you'd like help with Encourage, you can find that at the Courage RC website as well, Courage RC. I mentioned the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills, everlastinghills.org/movie, everlastinghills.org/movie, or just search Desire of the Everlasting Hills. You won't be sorry you did. If you haven't seen this film, you will not be sorry that you did. Our guest is featured in that film, one of three people featured in that film, who came into the Catholic, our guest, that is, Rylene Simpson, came into the Catholic faith in, returned to the Catholic faith in 2009, and now is a moderator of the Encourage support group. And if you have questions for Rylene about How to be your best self in dealing with family members, friends who have same-sex attraction. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Mike in Austin, Texas, listening on 106.9 FM. Mike, thank you for your patience. I realize we kept you waiting a while. Go ahead with your question, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. So it goes back to the million-dollar question that you asked at the beginning about what do you say or how you act. When someone comes to you or your own child comes to you and expresses these feelings. And I noticed that love was not used in any of your discussions with your child. There was some hugs, we understand. But was that an intentional or is it something that maybe you just didn't think about? But I think that love and unconditional love to your child is important to say before you say anything else, and I'll leave it at that.
That's a beautiful point, Mike. And honestly, what a duh on my part, right? I'll confess, I'm not a parent, and I should have just assumed that, or should not have assumed that I love you, and should be the first words. But you're absolutely right. That was a big oversight on my part, and those should be the first words out of your mouth. I love you. I will always love you. You will always be my child. Right? I love you. I'll always love you, and you'll always be my child. And so that's critical, and I'm so glad you brought it up. I thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I thought maybe there was something else out there, but you get on the radio, you sometimes you miss some things. But because that's the most important thing, our unconditional love for them, no matter what happens, and no matter what they choose. So thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
More. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Canton, Ohio. Emily, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Go ahead, Emily, with your question for our guest, Rylene Simpson.
Hi there, Si. Hi, Rylene. Thanks for taking my call. My son dated a girl for several years, and, after several years, she broke up with him and told him she was gay. So one of my questions is that possible that she could hide something like that so well and for so long? Or was my son just kind of naive and oblivious? We were upset because we felt that she, should have let him know sooner, all during college they dated. So his whole time was spent with her. And then also we were friends with the parents and we feel like, it's awkward now and that we've kind of lost some friends over this. I mean, we haven't had any kind of confrontations, but like we used to do things together and now it's like kind of awkward. We haven't really done anything.
Okay. Rylene?
Yeah. So I'm so sorry that this happened, but, I guess the relationship with the parents maybe should be thought of something different from, should we have seen it or should we have known or all of that. People struggle with this issue, and a lot of times people have, men and women have feelings. The men who experience same-sex attraction will tell you they've felt it from the very earliest. Women, it can crop up at any point in time. No kidding. No joke. I mean, from, the time you hit puberty to, in your 20s or 30s or 40s, right? Sometimes, and my theory, having lived that life for a long time, and by the way, I didn't discover this about myself, if you want to call it this, I didn't recognize these feelings. I would say now, in retrospect, I didn't even develop these feelings until I was rejected a few times by guys. And then I thought to myself, well, maybe I'm gay. And then I started to explore that, right? So she may have had feelings of being different. She may have found dissatisfaction in the relationship. You don't know what's going on with her, but our best approach would be not to assume anything deceitful on her part or that she was hiding something. People go through stuff and they come to conclusions and they make decisions and, you just do your best with it. So I would hesitate to worry that it was something that should have been detected or anything like that. As far as your relationship with her parents, you didn't mention whether it sounds like you're not. I assume that her parents know. Is that correct, Emily?
Yes, they know.
They do know. Yes. Okay. So, you know, if you were close with them, I guess I'm not sure why you would not be anymore. You know, you can't control what your son does. And you have, as an adult, you control over him. They're not at fault for whatever broken heart they left their daughter left your son with. So, you know, I'm not sure why it would be too awkward. You know, people break up regardless of the reason.
Right.
Yeah. So, if you enjoy them as people, you should live fully, embrace them, love them, like you did before this announcement. Yeah.
All right. Well, I so much appreciate your insight on all this.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for the call. Is this something like I'm wondering, just listening, we talked about the parent whose child comes out to them as gay and how you deal with that. Now, I wonder about the friend of the parent. Is this something like, it seems to me like, I wonder exactly. Some parents would want you to say, I'm sure this is very difficult and, you know, how can I be helpful? Some would maybe take offense at that. They'd want you to celebrate, you know, like, have you come up against that? And you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, as a friend of a parent who's going through this, I think the best approach is to just go back to the curiosity again, not intrusive curiosity, but, you know, hey, I saw your son's announcement on Facebook. Do you want to have a cup of coffee and talk about it? And you don't need to, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Especially if you are a faithful Catholic and you think they are, or you know them as faithful Catholics, knowing that they'll probably need your support and they might be embarrassed. They might feel a little shameful. They might be still hurting. They might be angry. There's all kinds of things that they're going through. And if you're a good friend to them and you can be there for them, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. We go now to Marietta, Georgia. Thank you, Emily, for that call. We go to Marietta, Georgia. Elizabeth, listening on 1160 AM. Elizabeth, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Rylene Simpson.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a 15-year-old granddaughter who I just found out said that she wants to transgender to a male, and she's going to start hormones when she's 16. And I'd like to know what the teaching of the church is, because she's saying that she can't be Catholic now.
Oh, well, okay. So I think that this phenomenon of this wave of transgenderism is so new to the church that we don't have much of a doctrine around it at this point. So I think that you have to kind of understand what the church is, you have to interpret what the church's position would be based on God's plan for human sexuality. And one of the things about God's plan for human sexuality is that we're born with a body and the soul. It is the body is our gift from God. Our lives are a gift from God. Our bodies are a gift, and we have the bodies that God gave us. So, I mean, this is foundational for you to understand, Elizabeth. It's not how you say this to your granddaughter necessarily, but mm-hmm. But that would be that's really fundamental teaching of the church, is that we have a body and we have to respect our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we respect the body very much, and so this idea of transgender is kind of in conflict with the teachings of the church. But you can't point to a doctrine and say, okay, paragraph 50, whatever in the catechism, it's just not, we're not there yet. It's all too new. There is a book, and maybe that you might want to read, and Sai, maybe you can help me with the title. I know you've cited it before. I think the author's name is Schreier. I've read it before. But it's S-H-R-I-E-R, and the title is not coming to me. But it's about this this phenomenon, because transgenderism used to be a very, very tiny percent, almost exclusively males who wanted had this gender dysphoria situation.
Irreversible Damage is the book.
That's it. Yeah. Irreversible Damage. And now it seems to be this wave of, it makes you popular as a girl to come out and say, you're transgender and you need to be a boy and you're meant to be a boy and all of that. So it's a, dare I use the word, it's a pandemic. But so the church, but regardless of whether you are whether you're living in alignment with the church's teachings, the church is still open to you. And I think the discussion has to probably start with, do you still believe in God? And working your way back down to make sure, does she still believe in God? Because sometimes when you experience this cognitive dissonance, these two conflicting thoughts that you can't resolve, you feel like you have to give up one or the other. So that's, when I went into the gay life, I was raised Catholic, but when I went into the gay life, I definitely had to abandon one or the other, the lifestyle or the faith, because it's just too hard. You can't believe in both, right? And you recognize that internally. So it would be, but again, having a series of conversations with her about what her understanding is about her body. What does the church teach about the body? And I think the teachings that might be very helpful for you is, besides the Irreversible Damage book, is the Theology of the Body. So I would, get a hold of some Theology of the Body resources and look at them together, age appropriate to your granddaughter, and work through them with her, because this is it's irreversible, right? The hormones are not, they're not without their side effects. So intended and unintended. So
is that helpful to you, Elizabeth?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with our guest, Rylene Simpson, right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray. At some point, our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our number is 888-318-7884. And what a fine show we have had today. Both hours. Been very, very fine hours. But we still got time. We got more questions, and we've still got time with our guest, Rylene Simpson, this hour. And if you'd like to know more about her, you can watch the film, Desire of the Everlasting Hills. She is a moderator of an Encourage group, and Encourage is a ministry of the Catholic Church to help those whose family members come out as gay or transgender or express that they are experiencing same-sex attraction, and often that means that's all new information, and we need help dealing with it, and that's what they do over at Encourage. You can find out about it at couragerc.org, couragerc.org. Not only do we have a lot of questions for you, Rylene, as we go into the last segment here, but we got a lot of tough questions for you. So you want to take a deep breath, and we'll dive in?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. And you did it. All right. Watching on YouTube in Seattle, Washington, Patrick in Seattle, Washington, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead, Patrick, with your question for Rylene.
Yes. Hello. So, you know, this question about, you know, talking to children about them coming out, so to speak, I'm going to flip it on its head and say I've got a parent who has been in the gay lifestyle for quite some time. She is currently married to another woman. And, you know, I was just kind of wondering if you had any advice on possibly leading them back to Christ and renouncing their lifestyle. You know, that there's a conflict here because they're both wonderful people, and I do see genuine acts of kindness that they give towards each other, and I would just like to see them abandon the other side of this, the lustful side of this, as I see it.
Okay.
So if there's any advice that you could give on that, you know, to people in similar situations like myself, that would be really appreciated.
Okay, yeah. So thank you for the question. It's really, it is a tough one. Whenever we are in the position, or we think we're in the position to give what is called fraternal correction, there's a couple questions we have to ask ourselves. And, you know, are we the right person to be giving fraternal correction, and so on and so forth? Like, will they listen to me? Will it have an effect? Do I have the right relationship? So automatically, the fact that you are a son puts you in a subordinate position to your mom, right? And it's not that we can't give feedback to them that is valuable and that they need, but it you know, it has to be approached with respect and caution. And you sound like you would perfectly do that. You know, I'm not questioning that about you. But anytime you're going to approach a parent about things, you really have to be very, I think, aware of that relationship and the fact that you are the subordinate person in that, and they invested in you and they brought you up and all that you owe them as a parent, et cetera. So I think that in that situation, I don't think that my advice is that much different for you than it is for the, you know, first or second caller who asked about the kids, you know, providing a role modeling healthy relationship with you and your wife, if you're married, being a faithful Catholic, being kind. It sounds like you are in their lives, so that's very important. Is to stay in the lives of the people who are living this lifestyle, and not at any cost, but you know, working pretty hard to stay connected to them. Talking to them about God. I don't recommend, you know, hammering the point home very much that the church doesn't approve of this, et cetera, et cetera. I always, you know, once you've stated your position on it, you know, that you disagree with their thinking in this area, and you can have a different opinion and still love them. I think that's an important thing to get across to people. That is one of the cultural memes in this world that we live in that's so destructive, is this idea that if you don't agree with me, you must hate me, right? And so keeping them in your life as much as possible, that has to be tempered, of course, with how they behave and if you have kids and what age the kids are, and you know, if there's public displays of affection and all of that stuff. So all of that has to be taken into prudential judgment and decision-making. But I think there are always ways to stay connected, and just stay connected and be a good charitable, loving son, a Catholic son.
I'm going to leave it. I hope that that's helpful, Patrick, but I'm going to try to get as many on as I can now before we have to let Rileen go. I'm going to go now to Mark in Randolph, Nebraska, listening on 88.3 FM Spirit Catholic Radio. Mark, go ahead with your question for Rileen.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. If I am certain and have knowledge of someone living an active gay lifestyle, as a Eucharistic minister, would you encourage me or discourage me from offering them Holy Communion?
Oh, okay. So thank you for that question. It's a very important question. I'm an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion myself. We are not communion police in my way of thinking. We are, and the way I've been trained, we're not communion police. It is not, we do not have knowledge into someone else's soul or where they are, what their condition or state of grace is. Even if you're convinced that a person is being actively engaged in the gay life, you don't know if they just went to confession yesterday and are clean as a whistle at this point in time. We don't know what struggles they're struggling with. We don't know how they got there. We don't know if there's any mitigating circumstances. So as far as our diocese is concerned, as far as I know from my own personal experience, I would say it's not our job. If they present themselves for communion, I would say give them communion.
And I think that you would find in almost universal agreement with that, with the apologists here at Catholic Answers. So I just want to add that to settle your mind, I hope. Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it. I'm only going quick because I'm trying to get as many on with Rileen Simpson as I can. And up next is Linda. Linda, you're going to have to be kind of quick.
I think that the answer that she gave for Patrick pretty well covers my question.
Oh, really?
And I think that I can let you go.
Oh.
Regards relationship with friends, and because of Catholic faith, they think that you, what would you call it, turn your back
reject
on them because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I'm interested in this. So you have a friend who comes out as gay to you, and they assume that you're going to...
No, my friend's kids.
Your kids. Okay. They assume that you're going to reject them. You don't want to reject them, but you also don't want to just accept the lifestyle.
My question was, how do you meet that when you are Catholic and you believe one way? And I feel like I'm not to judge, you know, someone else, what they're doing. I'm not the judge. I can still care about my friends. I can still care about people, family or friends, whatever they choose, because that's not my job. My job is to love other people.
I hate to break the news to you, Linda, but you sound like a Christian. That's
Catholic Christian too.
Rileen, what do you think? Did you want to say anything to Linda? Yeah.
Linda, you've hit the nail on the head. I think it's an important question too. And I think people shy away. They're not really, don't have direct conversations. I believe in being very direct. And that question about, do you believe that we can disagree about something and still love each other? I think we have to start saying that to people. And it doesn't have to just revolve around this SSA issue, right? It's, there's lots of issues out there where we get cut off from people that we should be relating with over doctrinal issues. And we still need to model our Catholic love to them.
Yeah. Okay, Linda?
I agree. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bless you. But I just as I'm making a judgment call on this one, but even though you answered her question when Patrick called, I think we got to charge her for the answer just as much. We're going to double charge on that one. Thanks, Linda.
No discount if you answer your own question.
Darren,
questions.
You're the worst. Why did we go all these years without Rileen on the show? You are the worst. I love having her as a guest. Will you come back, Rileen Simpson?
I certainly will. My goal is to displace Rose Sweet as your favorite guest.
Oh, easy. That's entirely a matter of money. So you want to give out any web addresses before we go? You want to give out the Courage address again?
CourageRC.org and EverlastingHills.org.
Rylene Simpson, thank you very, very much.
It was a pleasure, Si.
We'll do this again tomorrow, God willing. Catholic Answers Live.